have too much of Carlos Wayne Anderson, and we're so glad that you're with us here today. That's a good one. Thank you. New York Comedy. New York Team. New York.
Take a moment to look around the room once more at your sisters and your brothers. As you look at them, practice knowing with me that you are actually viewing a reflection of your own holiness, a reflection of the holiness of the Almighty One. We spend so much time like pretending we are not one another. We spend so much time playing the game of I'm me and you're not, or we are us and you all aren't. And so we do well to just practice every day in every way we can to recognize that we are one another, that we are one self. Waking up to that knowing is what life is all about. And life is going to wake us up. It's going to wake us up to the truth that unity and oneness are what really is. Think about how life wakes us up is that it always tries to wake us up gently at first. It whispers to us, you are one with the one. I told you before that I lived in Miami at one point, and I walked through a neighborhood. It was a neighborhood of the homeless people. And there were whiskey and wine bottles everywhere. There were needles everywhere. And I used to walk through and look at the people who were passed out on the sidewalk. And I used to say, had it not been for the grace of God, there go I. Because I know, like nobody knows, that there's a thin, thin line between having a home and losing one. There's a thin, thin line between being addicted and not. There's a thin, thin line between being sane and insane. And so when I looked at my brothers and my sisters, I thought I was doing the spiritual thing to have arrived at a place of consciousness where I could say, had it not been for the grace of God, there go I. I did that for about 2 or 3 months, and then one day I decided that I should amp it up. I should give these people something. So I started bringing sandwiches and juices, passing them out to people, putting them down beside someone who was passed out. I felt really good about myself. And I left going, had it not been for the grace of God, there go I. After a couple of months, I left sandwiches and juice for my brothers and my sisters, and I was walking up toward the causeway where I lived, and I was just filled with how great I am. How awesome I am. Spend my money on food to give to somebody other than me, and how great I am to be able to say that scripture with sincerity. Had it not been for the grace of God, there go I. Well, I'm walking toward the causeway and I get these goosebumps, and I know what those feel like. I know it means the spirit has just fallen on me. And I always open up my ears to my inner voice because I know that something's about to be said. And what was said was, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you need to drop the words, had it not been for the grace of God. What does that leave me with? There go I. To really get that these are not just my brothers and sisters, not just people who had slipped down a dark tunnel that I could have slipped down. People whose circumstances and life conditions had led them to a place where I could walk among them and bring them sandwiches. I felt special, but I didn't feel oneness. So had it not been for thee, God dropped. And every time I walked through that particular area of town, I would get tears in my eyes for several months. I would look at my brothers and my sisters laying down on the streets with their empty whiskey bottles and wine bottles, and their needles, and their filth, and I would go, there go I. You see, oneness is a truth. There's one energy. There's only one child of God, and collectively we are that one child. And Christ's consciousness is the consciousness that says, I am one with my Creator and all of creation. Which is why Jesus so readily said, the Father and I are one. But he also said, I am also one with the least among you. I try to remember that. I can tell when I've gotten out of a sense of being at one with someone very easily. It's because a judgment enters my mind. It's a judgment about separation, how I've got my act together and someone else doesn't, how I am following the way of love and light and someone else is dancing in the darkness. I can always tell, always, when I've slipped away from the consciousness of Christ, which is, I am one with the Creator and all of creation. I can always tell because instantly I feel icky. Something inside does not feel right. I feel off balanced. And that balance can only return when I come back to the consciousness of I am everyone. If life does not awaken me to the truth of oneness with a whisper, it'll start speaking up a little louder in the circumstances of my life. And if loud talk doesn't do it, it'll start screaming. If screaming doesn't do it, life will lay its hands on me. It will nudge me. And if a nudge don't work, it will shake me. And that's what I'm talking about today. A shake awake, wake up call. Life has been whispering to us the truth of oneness for so long. And life has spoken out loud to us for so long. And life has nudged us for so long to remember the oneness of all that is and our part in it. Life has screamed at us for so long, every day, on the news, on the internet, in the newspaper. We watch life scream to us, awake to the truth of the oneness of all that is. Last Saturday, not yesterday, but a week before, was an interesting day to me because I woke up early in the morning because last Saturday was my oldest grandchild, my granddaughter Sahar, was her 19th birthday. So I woke up with the joyous blessing of having, oh my God, not only do I have grandchildren, I've got 8 grandchildren, but my oldest grandchild, she's completed 19 cycles of the earth around the sun. She's 19. I was so happy. We were going to have a party for her on Sunday, so I realized I was going to go to Boston to preach, so I better spend all day Saturday cooking up some grub with all the love I had in my heart pouring into that food I was going to bring. I wanted my love in every chili meat. I wanted it in every piece of chicken. I wanted it in the sauce on the chicken. I wanted it in everything that I brought to her party on Sunday. So I am skipping through the tulips on Saturday morning. Until I decided to just flick on the television to have something in the background, and I heard an announcement. And nobody had to say to me, had it not been for the grace of God, there go I. I was there. The announcement was that once again, someone with a mind filled with separation, condemnation, division, had walked in to a house of God where my people were gathered and had visited chaos on them. all of a sudden I wasn't skipping through the tubes anymore. I was still cooking food and I was managing my mind so that I didn't put fear in my chicken and my chili, so that I did not put retaliation into my chili, but so that I could do the only appropriate response to anything that ever happens to anyone, anywhere, at any time that looks like pain, to extend love and to extend the knowing, these are my people. I got to church in Boston and I noticed that everyone there was in a very celebratory frame of mind. People were just hugging and kissing and talking about their weekends and what they did yesterday, and the entertainment that they took in. People were partying and dancing. The music team was getting ready to reveal a couple of new tunes that they did, and they did them, and we started out our service with joy singing, and everybody was just so happy. And then I got up. And I told him what had happened to my people yesterday, who had gathered together in the house of worship and praise, only to have somebody walk in and visit hostility on them. I told them that I was there to celebrate the goodness of God, but that my heart was also filled with sorrow as to what had happened to me and my people. And someone in the back decided that I must be confused. So they kind of raised their hand and they went, "You do know it wasn't a black church, right?" And then when, as I said, somebody walked in and visited chaos on my people. Today I'm a Jew. Today that's my temple. Today that's my house of worship. After church, I had a couple of people come up to me and they said, "You really take this stuff seriously, don't you? Because you really don't have as much pep in your step as usual." And I wondered what was wrong with you. There was a little shadow on you. And now I know that you take seriously what you talk about, don't you? And I said, "I better. I just better." The next day at the party for my granddaughter, I walked in with my food, and everybody there was in a state of high celebration. Everybody there, it was a mixed crowd. My granddaughter has a very eclectic mix of friends. And so there were African Americans there, there were Spanish people there, there were some white people. And it seemed to me as I looked around that it was as though they were living on a different planet than me. Like it had just been the most awesome weekend ever. And I brought up the fact when somebody said, "What's with you? You're a little bit subdued." I said, "Somebody walked into the house of God where my people were gathered yesterday. And I'm still under the influence of the assault." And somebody there said, "You know, it's not the same as when it happened at the black church in Florida, right?" And I went, "It is to me. Today I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew among Christians who think they are not also Jews. I'm there with people of all colors, but none of them think what happened yesterday happened to their people. These are all Christians in this house." I knew that it wasn't my place to start a teaching seminar at the party. I also knew it was not my place to start judging people or wondering what was wrong with them. It was just my opportunity to observe. To observe the manifestation of how ugly it is when we don't know we are everyone. When we play the game of "I'm me and you're not," we are us and they are not. I feel like life is giving such a shake awake wake up call that if we don't wake up, we are surely the walking dead. The scripture that I chose, I had no idea it was the daily word for today, so I thought that was awesome. Awake, you who sleep. You who sleep and dream the dream of separation. You dream the dream of I'm me and you're not, we're us and they are not. You who dream the dream of being separate, an island. Wake, you who sleep. Because you see, sleepwalking through life, even when we're thinking, had it not been for the grace of God, there go I. Even when we're bringing sandwiches and juice, we are still investing in the notion of separation that is the big lie. It's the one big fat lie that we have been told, that we have been programmed with, and that we hang on to dearly. And it's the cause of all confusion. And it's the cause of all war and rumors of war. Wake, you who sleep. If life has not awakened us over the last few years with the manifestation of separation, what it costs and what it looks like, if we don't wake up with this, what kind of shake awake do we require to acknowledge our oneness with one another? The oneness of all it is. Once more, Christ consciousness is an I am statement. I am one with the Creator, and I am one with all of creation. It's not easy unprogramming. It takes work. I've told you that I really don't know who I would be, what my life would look like if I did not lend an hour and a half a day to reconnecting with the source of all oneness and with the notion that I'm one with all of you. And I'm one with the people who irritate me. And I'm one with the people who do life in an entirely different way that I think is righteous and respectable and the way to go. I've got to be one with the Creator. The cost of that is to know that I am one with even the least among you. You know, the least aren't the least to everybody. You know who's least to you. And who's least to you might not be who's least to me. But oneness is something that we will wake up to. It's a question of what's it going to take. You know, I told you about the Chinese coin that has the same symbols on both sides, and they're simply interpreted differently. One interpretation is danger, and the other is opportunity. So when I turned on the news and got that bit of information a week ago yesterday, I instantly knew that a choice was up for me, and the choice was to feel like I was living in a dangerous world, or a choice to realize I'm living in the land of opportunity. Not an opportunity for me to get them to do something different. An opportunity for me to get me to do something different, to be something different, and to forward something different on planet Earth. We're here dreaming the dream of separation. When I died a couple of years ago and was on the other side, there's one experience. It's hard to be able to verbalize what happened, but one thing I saw was two pixels of light coming together and exploding in the midst of all the light. And a wave of knowing came that those two points of light appeared on planetary physical reality as two individuals playing a game of enmity. One was a villain, one was a victim. When their play was done and they went backstage, they hugged and kissed each other and said, "You sure made a good villain, and you sure made a good victim." We played our part to wake up people, to show you what it looks like, and what it feels like, and what it costs. Not to just be one. To recognize myself in you, and you in me, and us in the Almighty One. I think my hour and a half a day of meditating, that's what I do when life is going pretty smooth for me. And that's what keeps me being smooth. But sometimes when challenges are hitting the fan, when there's a health challenge going on, a relationship challenge going on, a physical challenge going on, a financial challenge going on, a relationship challenge going on, I can't get by with an hour and a half. I gotta add another 20 minutes or so in order to stay on the track. And once more, how do I know when I'm off track? I feel icky. My feelings are the barometer. When I feel a complete peace, I know that I am resting in a consciousness of complete oneness and complete unity. There's a scripture that says, where there is unity, there is peace. One of my favorite scriptures since I was a little boy. And silly me, when I graduated high school, was going to college, and my mom turned me on to a bunch of unity books, and I saw Eric Butterworth's book, The Power Within You. And I went, oh my God. And then I saw he's got a church in New York, and I went, oh my God, where there is unity, there is peace. All I have to do is get to a unity church, and I will be in an arena of absolute peace. It took me 3 weeks of attending the Unity Church here in New York to realize not everybody in unity is about unity. Unity is just another church. And A Course in Miracles said, a choice for love brings up everything unlike itself. And so if you belong to an organization called Unity, whose mission is to unify your mind, to get you to a place of that oneness, it will be tested. Because the choice for love brings up everything unlike itself. So the shadow will come up, not to be judged, to be noticed, and to be alleviated, to be shined away by the light. It's been a week and a day now. I'm still under a bit of sadness of what happened to my people a week ago yesterday, who gathered together in a house of worship and praise just to say, thank God. Just to say, you're so good. You're so worthy of my time and my attention. And someone walked in and visited pain upon them. My hands are not clean, y'all. I have walked into some places in my 67 years on this planet. And I have visited pain on people myself. I never did it overtly with a handgun or a rifle. I did it with energy and words and judgments. Or maybe just a tisk of my tongue against the roof of my mouth. I visit pain upon anyone when I do not see them as the holy child of God, whom God is well pleased. You see, I'm sneaky. I don't come in with firearms. I come in with a thought, I'm me, and you're not. We are us, and you all are not. That is a visit of negativity of tremendous proportions. It keeps war alive. It keeps territorialism alive. It keeps tribalism alive. It's sneaky. If you fall asleep, it'll get you. You will dream the dream of separation and think it's okay. You'll see people who are not worthy of your respect, not worthy of your love, not worthy of the gift of your compassion, not worthy of your blessing. It's clear, it's obvious. And you will think it's wrong to bless them. Wrong to get they are just a reflection of a part of you you are afraid to look at and deny is a part of you. Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ, which is the consciousness of I am one with the Creator and all of creation, that consciousness will give you life. You will no longer be among the walking dead. And you'll always know where your mind is. Because if you're feeling completely at peace, you're in the consciousness of that oneness. If you feel the slightest bit of nothing that looks like peace, if you feel icky, you've just fallen asleep again. Don't nod off. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear, that there's nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is. Peace! Love!
Opportunity. It's not other people's opportunity. It's not the government's opportunity. It's not the president's opportunity. It's my opportunity to stay awake to who I am and to who you are, to who God is, and to what life is really all about. The forwarding of heaven on planet Earth, peace on Earth, goodwill toward everybody, because I am everybody, doggone it, I am everybody. And so are you. And forgetting that feels icky. And remembering that floods you with such love that it's like a cup running over. Where there is unity, there is peace. Not so much that where there is a unity church or a unity center, there is peace. But where there is a unified mind, a unified heart that sees all people as my people. My people. My people. Oh, how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell in unity. And oh, how sweet it is to be loved by our God and to express the love of our God. And it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Deeper. Deeper. Deeper into love.